Today, we'd like to see the title of May the Lord Be With You in 1 Chronicles chapter 21-22. To the souls on this online world through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Question 1 in chapter 21, verse 1. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Why was David's numbering Israel wrong in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2 in chapter 21, verse 7. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he struck Israel. Explain the difference between the Old Testament time and the New Testament time regarding God's judgments against sin, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 3 in chapter 22, verse 11. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said to you. Explain it with the verses 12, 13, and 19, compared with today, fundraising for church building, and what can we learn from here? In the last time, in the 1 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 8, these were born to the giants in Gath, and they fell by the hands of David and by the hand of his servants. David used the people of Ammon as slaves to work. Other pagan enemies were defeated by Israel and gathered with the Philistines. Shippai and Rami, the brother of Goliath, the holder of the huge-sized spear, like the beam of a weaver, were killed. At Gath, a tall man with 12 fingers and 12 toes and other giants were killed. They fell by David, as the Lord preserved David wherever he went. In chapter 18, verse 6 and chapter 18, verse 12, because he was after God's own heart. After the constant war was over from 1 Chronicles chapter 18 up to 20, David took the census of Israel here now. Chapter 21, verse 1. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Question 1. God does not see just the end, such as the sight, work, service, or success, but also the beginning. Everything prior to the set end is called as beginning, such as reason, heart, motive, or faith. Because God accepted the righteous work with heart to fear God, not just outward appearance, the end causing favoritism or partiality. Also, God wants a reason, the beginning, for sins. God wants not just the service, the end, but also reason, the beginning, for the reasonable service here. God sees not just David's census of Israel, the end, but also David's reason or motive, the beginning. Like a previous Moses census, the end, with all who were able to work in Israel, 20 years old or older, the region or the beginning. David numbered Israel even after the constant war was over, while God preserved him whenever he went, feeling subconsciously or consciously self-sufficient or proud of his victory upon military power provided by God. Now he was tempted by Satan to rely upon the military power, the provision, rather than the power of God, the provider. The reason or motive, the beginning, was his self-sufficiency or pride for the senses, the end. For example, ministry, both the increased ministry rather than both his work of the ministry. That's a cross-reference right here. Verse 2. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba, far south to Dan, far north, bring the number of them to me, that I may know it. Verse 3, and Joab answered, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are, but my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require these things? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel? Joab recognized David's reason, heart, or motive, the beginning, for the census, the end. During peace and quiet time of Israel, to David, whose pride blinded him to recognize the way of escape from Satan's temptation. Even if a faithful God allowed the way of escape through Joab from the temptation, hereby we learn to be sensitive to the spiritual seeing through constant prayers. So that's a cross-reference right there. Verse 4, nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout of Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. In other words, Joab didn't like king's order. Verse 7, and God was displeased with this thing, therefore he struck Israel. 7, question 2. In the Old Testament time, under Mosaic law, a sinner got even punishment every time through priest from God, eye for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand foot for foot, or various sacrifices. But in the New Testament time, upon Jesus' blood sacrifice once for all, the old covenant of law was taken away, but new covenant of grace has been established. At the time of the first phase in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, through your repentance of all sin, including unbelief, distinguished from unbelief, you are saved in the position of the faith. Number 2, the Spirit of God dwelt in you forever, sanctifying you until you meet Jesus in heaven. Number 3, your all sin is cleansed away under Jesus' grace, not under law. And you are holy or righteous, imputed by Jesus' righteousness from the relationship by the faith or the fellowship between you and Jesus. So every believer of Jesus, the Son of God, has eternal life under grace and has been sanctified until either last breath or rapture. So every believer has been sanctified by each indwelling spirit who teaches the word of God under his grace up to the image of Jesus into the inheritance of a heavenly kingdom. That is until the last breath of a rapture, called as glorification. Hereby the gap between the first of belief from unbelief And the glorification of the perfect image of Jesus is the mission point to the perfect image of Jesus' target, called as hamartia, sin. It is undoubtedly sin, or forgivable sin. So if we, the believers, say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar because his word is not in us. But if so, the Spirit convicts us with it to his image. So the Christian's sin is the death ordered to Jesus, who already forgave all sin from first faith. For example, in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts, as you forgive our debtors, Matthew 6:20, King James Version. Know this truth and win against Satan's many times to try and make us feel that God wants to forgive. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So this one is all cross-references. Verse 8, so David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I pray, take away the iniquity, your servant. I have done very foolishly. Then the Lord spoke to God. David's sheer sincere was the prophet, saying, go and tell David, saying, this says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. So God came to David and said to him, this says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be defeated by your foes, with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord to plague you in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. 13, and David said to God, I am in the great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great, but do not let me fall into the hand of a man. 14, so the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. 7,000 men were killed by a plague due to David's sin. When you commit a sin, its consequences have already begun to your neighbors. When you ask God to forgive the sin, you are forgiven, and God often intervenes to make its consequences less severe, but its scar remains. Here, the sin of David as the king of Israel affected the people of Israel, that its consequences were 7,000 people dead by plague for 3 days. That's the price of leadership and the cost of sin. Verse 15, and God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the just, or repented him of the evil, the Lord, and said to the angels who was destroying, it is enough, now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. To describe the nature of eternal God, the humans limited to time and place have indescribable languages. Here, the word of repent, King James Version, lent New King James Version, is the expression of God's compassion or empathy upon human suffering, even the consequences of a sin. Likely sorrowful feeling to dethrone the soul to wicked people or to 7,000 death from David's pride. So all cross reference right here. Verse 16, then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out of Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, "Was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed. But this is shame. What have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, and they should be plagued." Therefore the angel of the Lord commanded God to say to David, David should go erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. So David went up at the word of God, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan turned Saul, the angel, and his four sons who were with him hid themselves. But Ornan continued threatening with. So David came to Ornan, and Ornan looked and saw David. He went up from the threatening floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threatening floor, that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall grant it to me at the full price, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people." 23. But Ornan said to David, "Take it to yourself," free basically. "Let me, Lord the king, do what is good in his eyes. Look, I also give you the auction for burnt offerings, the threshing implements for wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all." Then the king David said to Ornan, "No, but I will surely buy it for full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which cost me nothing." David wanted to sacrifice to God on the threshing floors of Ornan, the Jebusite, or today all the towns of Jerusalem. So David rejected to receive the land as a free gift from Ornan's off, but insisted on bearing the sacrifice by buying it for the full price to God. That's why many volunteers who have been saved upon each phase by grace or 100% free gift, even if the gospel of Christ for the salvation cost his life, desire joyfully or willingly to sacrifice by themselves with his time, labor, skill, or money for Christ. So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold and waited for the place. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered the burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord. He answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offering. So the Lord commanded the angel, and he returned his sword to its sheath. At that time, when David saw the Lord had answered him on threatening flow of Ornan to Jebusite, he sacrificed there for the tabernacle of the Lord and the altar of the burnt offering, which Moses had made in the wilderness at the time at the high place of Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. 29. The tabernacle of God was at Gibeon city in the land of Benjamin tribe, 6 miles or 10 kilometers in northwest bound from Jerusalem. That's a close reference right here. Now chapter 22 verse 1. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God. This is the altar of a burnt offering for Israel. This is the house of the Lord, that is, this is the place for the temple of God." The site of God's temple was the symbol of God's presence among his people. Every time the people went to the temple, they would remember that God is a true king. We need the presence of God, however, for every endeavor that we do for God. God stopped the angels above the threshing floor there on Mount Moriah, where Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." About 1,000 years after David, Jesus was led to the top of Mount Moriah, near a place called Golgotha, or Calvary, and there he was crucified. First, so David commanded to gather the aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he appointed the merchants to cut hewn stones to build the house of God, and David prepared the iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates and for the joints and bronze in abundance beyond the measure, and cedar trees in abundance for the Sidonians, and those from Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. Now David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make a preparation for it." So David made abundant preparations before his death. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'You have shed much blood and have made great words. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight.' Verse 9, "Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace, quietness to Israel in his days." Verse 9, David was not able to build the temple of God because of his shedding much blood, a probable negative impact on peace and quietness among the people. But God charged his son Solomon to build the temple. David fully obeyed God and prepared for the building. As we, as a parent, learn what to succeed to our children, such as how to live the spirit-led life in the whole counsel of God. The story of Solomon is a tragedy because he started out well, but as the years went by, he was prosperous and wealthy, and he began multiply his wives and trade horses with Egyptians, turning away from the words of God. So that is a closer reference right here. Verse 10, "He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son. I will be his father, and I will establish for the throne of his kingdom of Israel forever." First level, last question. "Now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said it to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom, understanding, and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the Lord over the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill statute and judgment with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be dismayed." With the verses 12, 13, and 19, David said to Solomon, "May the Lord be with you, Number two, may you prosper and build the house of the Lord as God has said to you. God is your master or Lord who is with you. God provides the prosperity and build the house of God with provision as God leads you. So, as long as the Lord leads you, the Lord provides. How about today, fundraising to build a church building? It has the following risk to be tempted by Satan. Number one, two masters in our motive or mind. The beginning might come to reach the counted cost of money. The end to build it, because money has a purchasing power. Although money is made with the metals and paper trees created by God from nothing. Number two, the love of money might come subconsciously or consciously to reach the end under time pressure or people's duress. Number three, the love of money might cause a root of all kinds of evil against willing or cheerful donation to God or various unbiblical beginnings. Number four, the Lord's church might become a human church controlled by people. Without the risks to be tempted by Satan, it's hard to raise money to build a church building or to do any issue in a church ministry for God's purpose. And so we tolerate the fundraising like a filler rather than Andrew in Jesus feeding the 5,000 in a church because of supremacy of agape love, relying upon the Lord who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Although we don't really know the answer of an issue, but we are going to wait upon the Lord and see what He's going to do. Because the Lord is with us, we will not be dismayed, we will not dread. We will not be dismayed, not dread. So we are active followers of the Lord, venturing out in faith. God will answer the issue in His time and in His way for His church. So right here is the answer right there. Now, verse 12, 13, already read it. So, 14. Indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, bronze, iron, beyond measure. For it is so abundant, I have prepared timber and stone also. And you may add to them, moreover, they are workmen with you in abundance, woodsmen and stone cutters, and all types of skillful men for every kind of work, of gold and silver, bronze and iron. There is no limit. Arise and begin working, and the Lord be with you. David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And has He not given you rest on your every side? For He has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before His people." 19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore rise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, and bring the Ark of Covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord. Verse 19, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. David asked Solomon to serve him with undivided loyalty in order to build the sanctuary of the Lord, to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence, and the holy articles of God into the temple of God, not looking back. Solomon took up the task at his death. So we covered all three questions. Let's just sing the last Maranatha song. So right here, a European Union mission, right here, the tour, Calvary and Hillsong mission. So continue to keep on praying for them. Deliver of the words of God in gospel and in all scripture. So who can be against scripture? So right there. So keep on praying for Philippines ministry, for the pastoral terrain Asia ministry, and to Magati, you know, Ireland, right here, headquarters of Calvary Chapel mission in Asia area. Pray for the feeding people from starvation and sickness right here, South Sudan. Pray for abandoned children in Ukraine and for his increase. And pray for the rescue from Afghanistan, Ukraine, and for his glory. So right here, you know, question A, open question, how many members or offerings are at CCH, Calvary Chapel, and I'm here, right here, so how our Lord leads us so far. The last one, Shijian International Conference, June 23 up to 26, we invite them, so whoever available may join their international conference, so highly.